Hello, this is Andrew Corbett, author of the Bible study series, Building a Covenant Community of Believers. This is study number 26. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head, based on Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. As we have been making it a bit of a customary practice, we should, I'm recommending, start the evening or the afternoon or the morning, whenever you're meeting, with some refreshments, hot, cold drinks and some finger food, something to eat. This is a vital part of actually doing what the study series is trying to accomplish, that is building a covenant community. There's something quite wonderful about food and drink. It's in one of the earlier coaching audios, I referred to it as almost magic. There's something about the way God has designed for us as human beings to interact with each other over food and drink. And I strongly recommend that you employ this principle as you start your Bible study. I recommend if you've got a kitchen or a dining area, have it in that space and just let people mingle and let that be the opening to the evening. When you move into the area where you're going to undertake the study, ask our two questions. And again, these two questions are designed to do exactly what this entire study series is also trying to achieve. That is building a covenant community. By asking these two questions, the members of the group are becoming increasingly familiar in a positive way with each other. We're asking the first question, what are you thankful for at the moment? And then secondly, what would you like prayer for? And by asking those two questions, it reveals insights into the heart and the mind and the lives of those members of the group. So I strongly recommend those two questions as a part of leading the Bible study. On the lagana.org/studies page, and I think even on the andrewcorbett.net small group Bible studies page, there's a template there where you can use that template to record the group members' answers. What are you thankful for and what would you like prayer for? And at the end of the night, when you conclude the study, you conclude with prayer, and you remind the group of these particular prayer points that were raised, and ask each group member to pick one of these points. And when it comes around to you, and I recommend starting on your left, and you go around to come to you, I recommend that when you get to the end there, if there has been any prayer requests overlooked, then you pick those up as the group leader and pray those. So that's my recommendation. We are near the end, and our next study will be a capstone study. It will look in a way at all of the lessons that we've looked at in the 27 imperatives. It will include the 27th imperative, but really the 27th imperative is almost the capstone of the whole lot, and we'll see that in our next study. This is awful close. This is really awful close, because this could be really misunderstood, and let's see if we can make some sense of it. This is called, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Now that bit, I hope, is fairly self-explanatory, and we'll build on the rest of the biblical picture of how a follower of Christ treats those who mistreat them. The last part of this verse, I just want to make an introductory comment about. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now that sounds gruesome. That sounds like, you know, you've taken a shovel into the hot blazing fire, you've got hot coals, and you just tip it on their head. Now, of course, it is metaphorical, but even still, metaphors have teeth. That's actually, many scholars believe, that's actually not the picture and the point here. In the ancient times, as weary travellers were travelling through the night, often through snowdrifts and the like, they would come into an inn or come into a house that was hosting them, and they would be, you know, given things like a blanket, a seat in front of the fire, and hot coals. And the hot coals were often in a thick leather pouch, and they would be put around the head, the neck, in a way that I suppose today we use something like a hot water bottle. So where it sounds like we're heaping burning coals in the sense of, take that, it's actually a picture of incredible hospitality, a picture of incredible graciousness, and it fits the picture completely here. Now, for those who think, oh, I thought the whole point was to, you know, bring a sense of shame so that they felt guilt over what they've done. Well, yes, that may well be the result because of this added kindness. Now, consider this. If they're hungry, give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And if they're cold, shivering, give them something to warm themselves by. Each is an act of kindness. And the last one is meant to bring home the sense of shame that they've been treating you poorly and you have returned their mistreatment for kindness. So just a little bit of a note on that. So let's have a look at the study. I would recommend again that you pick someone in the group. You might say, Stephen, could you just read this first paragraph? And it says this: one of the hallmarks of a true Christian is how they treat their enemies. While our enemies use weapons of hostility and injury, the weapons with which a Christian responds include kindness, mercy, and generosity. If we are to follow Christ, we are to follow the God who loved us when we hated him. So very important point there, and this is what we call drawing out an application from theology. It's important. Anyway, we are to follow after the God who showed us nothing but kindness and generosity when all we showed him was obstinance and ingratitude. Now, I would suggest and say, you know, thank you, Stephen. Has anyone got a comment about that? Anyone disagree with that? Anyone support this? You know, so put it out there and see if people respond and just let the group begin to participate. Question one: what happened to us when we were born again according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And when we look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, which says, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So both of those New Testament passages refer to a new identity. They refer to lifestyle sinner becoming now a follower of Christ, and it's new. It's a newness. It's a change of heart and mind and a change of character. So that's what's happened to us. We have become new. When we were born again, we became new. We got a new mind and a new heart. And this is important to understand as we look at this new way of treating others. Question two: as difficult as it is, what incentive does Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22 give the believer to respond to their enemy's hostility with kindness? So Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22 says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and here's the clincher, and the Lord will reward you. So that's the point there, that by treating others that way, in other words, by treating people the way God has treated us, he will reward us. He will reward us. What a tremendous scripture that is. Question three: how does Isaiah chapter 58 verses 6 to 8 reveal God's heart for how he wants his people to treat others? Well, that passage says this: is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. So there's a tremendous sense of God's approval, God's heart being manifest in, on, and through you when you treat others with kindness and mercy, just like God has treated us. The gospel does not just encourage the believer to resist striking back, but to actually show kindness and generosity in the face of an enemy's ungraciousness. Have you ever witnessed this? So this is an opportunity for you in the group to be able to invite people to participate. Even though it's not got a question number on it, it's still a vital part of leading the group. In fact, you can do that through the study if you think of supplementary questions as well. Over the page, this next bit is from based on a movie, Hacksaw Ridge. Well, it's actually based on a real life story, as I point out, which Hacksaw Ridge commemorated on the screen. It says this: during World War II, conscientious objector Desmond Doss enlisted as a medic. His heroism in going into the front lines of several battles unarmed to rescue wounded comrades earned him the highest military medal for bravery. But Desmond also went across to where he saw wounded enemies and brought many of them back into the American field hospitals as well. Desmond Doss showed the enemies of America during World War II what Romans 12:20, our text that we're looking at, looked like. His life has been depicted in the very graphic movie Hacksaw Ridge. Now, probably this is where you want to ask the question, has anyone seen that movie? What did you think of it? You know, da, 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 da. And if you have seen it, then you'll realize right at the end, they show actual footage and actual photos of the real Desmond Doss, the actual Desmond Doss. And you see, oh my goodness, this whole thing was true. This whole story was true. Okay, question four. How might the community in which our church is located view our church differently if we emulated 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12? And this passage in 1 Corinthians 4:12, if we labor working with our own hands, when reviled we bless, when persecuted we endure. So how would our church look if every time we were criticized or attacked, we actually just endured it, patiently endured it, and even at times blessed those and said kind things and showed graciousness? How would our church be viewed in the community? Be hopefully a really positive discussion and a challenge to us as a local church to consider, boy, that's the goal. We're not there yet. We've got a way to go. Question five, the Apostle Peter presents what aspect of Christ's life to his readers to challenge them in his statement, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, which says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So he's obviously presenting the aspect of Christ's life during what we call his passion, which is the final week of his life before the cross. How could we each challenge each other today with this same challenge, noting 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, which says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Okay, so the question is, how can we each challenge each other today to do that? And this is a part of the discussion. And hopefully, it might result in people contributing things like this. Well, this is a great place. This is a great and a safe place to be able to challenge each other, that when we're being mistreated or unfairly dealt with, we can respond in a Christ-like manner. And there'll be other contributions, I'm sure, and I hope that you lead the group in a healthy discussion in that regard. Perhaps a good place to start in our quest to transform how we treat those who mistreat us is with our brothers and sisters in Christ who sometimes offend or upset us. Rather than return the unkindness, we might instead pour hot coals on their head by being kind, gracious, and generous toward them. And may God help us to do so. Amen. Well, I trust that in this study, you have been able to lead the group in a way that they will see that the kind of life that Christ lived was a life where he didn't retaliate evil for evil. He always responded in a kind, gracious, generous manner, and he did so not holding back from the truth as well. All right, this is now where you would pull out those prayer requests after probably asking, has anyone got any final comment? Has anyone got any thought, any sort of thought to sum up this, how we can live this out? And invite people to share at that level. And after that, this is when you're going to remind them of the various prayer requests and then start with the person on the left, go around the room, come to you, and then wrap it up. Pray a prayer where you're asking God, please, Father, help us to be kind, gracious, generous, merciful to people who don't treat us like that. And if there are any of those prayer requests that have been left out, then just pick those up as well. Well, we'll be back for the capstone study, study number 27. I'm looking forward to this. So this is going to be the culmination of our 27 imperatives for building a covenant community of believers.